For the special music tonight, what a blessing it is to have those prepare and then sing and be used by the Lord to bring a message to us through song. And it's always good to see new specials coming on board as well. So praise the Lord for that. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Wednesday nights, our Bible study has been on the life of Noah. And we've studied quite a bit about the life of Noah. And studying the life of Noah, it is actually a study of the great flood. And the Bible has given us quite a bit of insight into pre-flood civilization. And so we know some of the things that took place and how it ended up and how God judged that and how he saved Noah and his family alive. And so Noah has been through a lot. Noah has been on the ark 1 year and 10 days. God tells him it's time to get off the ark, and the waters have subsided, and Noah gets off the ark to a new world. And this would be a new world. Things would have been different than what it was before the flood. And we're going to see even more differences here tonight when we see God's instructions of Noah. But it's a new world. And Noah got off, realized his great need for God. And he, first of all, worshiped the Lord. And God was very pleased with Noah's free will of worship. And from that, after he worshiped the Lord, we find that God met with Noah. And we studied last week as God blessed and instructed Noah, and his instruction was to multiply and replenish. That was to establish a world that would call upon God, multiply his family and teach the truths and rear his children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Everyone on planet Earth at that time called upon the name of the Lord. It's just Noah and his family, but that's all that was on the face of the earth as far as humanity. And God instructed Noah, now with this family, let's start all over again. And let's raise our children, and let's raise a family and establish homes that will call upon the Lord. And that's where it began, all over again with Noah. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at somewhat the same scriptures, but we're going to be looking at different instructions in the same scriptures. And so tonight, Genesis chapter 9, and let's go ahead and read verse 1 down to verse 4. Go ahead and stand with me, if you will. We read last week, and we studied verse 1, and then dropped down to verse 7 through 9, as God instructed him to be fruitful and replenish, multiply and replenish the earth, as we studied what that meant. Tonight, we're going to be studying more verse 2 down to verse 4. And so let's read here, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, tonight, verse 2. "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh, with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for opportunity in church. We thank you for the precious holy word that you have preserved for us so that we might know the very mind of God. And I pray tonight, God, for all that are here, and you know what kind of spiritual needs they have. You know what they need to receive tonight. And I pray through this study that you would speak to them as they have need to be spoken to. Pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Tonight, what I want to look at here is the supremacy of man over animals. The supremacy of man over animals on the earth. And so as everything is starting over again, God has now destroyed the earth. He's destroyed everything living that was on the earth, and including man. The only ones that were alive were what was taken into the ark. And God has kept seed alive through the animals and the birds and humanity. He kept seed alive through the ark. And after all that was over, we find that now Noah gets off and God says, this is a new world, and you have some new instructions. And so first of all, we find that man's dominion would not be the same. Man's dominion over the earth has now changed. verse 2, he says, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered." Now, that's how God is instructing man in the new world. But let's look back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. So with man's dominion would not be the same, God's instructions to man now have changed. Since Adam and Eve, before the fall of man, to now the instructions of man after the fall with a new world. Now, God's already promised that this world would not change. This world that we live in today is the same atmosphere. It's the same as it was after the flood. But as we study here tonight, we'll find that it was different before the flood. It was somewhat different before the flood. In chapter 1 and verse 28, verse 29, this is God after the creation of Adam and Eve, before the fall of Adam. Now, he had already created the earth and everything in it, and he prepared mankind. He prepared everything for mankind. Everything that God created, he created for with mankind in view, that he would be able to live on this earth and he would have dominion over the earth. And so we find, look at how God addresses man before the fall of man concerning the world that man would live on. "And God blessed them." That's a saying. "And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." That's the same. Okay, so God's plan of production, God's plan of reproduction was the same. Okay, before sin and after sin. The body of man was the same. The body of woman was the same. Okay, so we find here that replenish the earth. And now that we see something different. In the beginning, before the fall of man, instructions for man on earth was this: and subdue it and have dominion. Now, we find that those two words have been left out in God's instruction to man after the flood in the same world that you and I live in today. Okay, something different here. Two words are left out. And from when he instructed Adam and Eve to when he is now instructing the only families on the earth, the ones that survived the great flood by the grace of God through the ark, we find now he is giving them instructions, but he leaves out the idea of dominion and subdue it. That idea of what he tells them in verse 2 of chapter 9, the fear of you and the dread of you. That's how it's replaced. The fear of you, the animals, the world, the fish, the birds, all the animals, all the other life form on earth, God says they'll have a fear of you and a dread of you. Now that means a reluctance to address. That means that the animals are not going to want to address mankind. They will be somewhat of a fear. You'll find when man moves into different wildernesses, the wild animals move out. The fear of you and the dread of you. The fear God has instilled within animals, has instilled within all other creatures, somewhat of a fear of humanity. And a dread, meaning a fear, a reluctant to address. But he did not give them the instructions to have dominion, nor subdue. Dominion is to rule, to control. Subdue, dominion, to conquer and bring into submission. Man would not be able to do that. Subdue and dominion, words not used by God now. See, after the fall of man, man would not be able to do what God told him to do pre-flood. We don't know all the reasoning why. We don't know exactly what kind of power man would have had before the fall over nature, over having dominion over the earth and telling the earth when to rain and when to change seasons and everything else about it. What kind of authority man had, but he could control that. We don't know exactly how it would have been pre-flood when God prepared man and given him dominion and control over the animals. We do know that they were vegetarian. God did not create them to kill and eat. They were not predators. They were here for man's pleasure and on and on in the beginning. Okay, so we know that because we see there, and we'll see that a little bit later as well, God instructed God's provisions for man and the animals were vegetation pre-flood. Changed after the flood. Post-flood, we find there's a lot of differences. Now, God did not see it necessary to tell us all the changes. But as we study it, we know that there have been changes. Two huge changes is in the two terms, the two words that God used before the flood, dominion and subdue. He would not have told them to do that if they did not have the ability before the fall to do it. Now, what a blessing. I can just imagine. You know, what it had been like if we said, you know, we need a little bit of rain, rain. If we need a little bit of sun, sun. I don't know exactly how that would have happened, but they would have been able to control the earth. That's what the Bible says. He told them to have dominion and over everything on the earth. So we find that that's no word, that those words are not being used now. Can I tell you that even with that, we realize that sin always costs us something? The reason that man was not able to have dominion and over the earth was that he gave up his rights to dominion over to spiritual enemies, the devil. When he yielded to the sin, and God told him before he yielded to the sin, he said, that's something that if you partake of, you shall surely die. And he was talking about a death to God and a death that his body would start dying physically. And one day he would have to face a physical death. Now, pre-flood, it was many years. We have record that God has given to us that there were men that lived over 900 years pre-flood. So we know that the environment of the earth was somewhat helping man to survive and to live longer, to live healthier. We know that the diet of humanity before the flood was that of vegetation, which also would be able to have the nutrients and be able to help man to live longer. He would not have the fear of animals, would not have to worry about bear attacks, would not have to worry about shark attacks. Shark Week, right? Pre-flood, I'm just saying that he had dominion. He had control. He could subdue it all until sin. He gave over that ability to subdue and have dominion to the devil. Subdue and dominion to conquer and bring into submission. Could have had that. God designed it that way. Sin always costs us something. Now we see the huge cost in the fall of man. But it's the same sin that's going to cost you something that you get yourself to today. A biblical principle still holds true. No matter how small a sin that you might see it and how you might want to justify sin, all sin, no matter how small or how great, will cost you something. And it will cost you something that God had for you. God's perfect will for our lives is not to have the scars of sin. But every time we sin, can I tell you, sin leaves some type of a scar on your mind, in your heart. All sin will cost us something. Even though we get forgiveness and cleansing of sin, the scars remain for the longevity of this lifetime. However long you live, that scar, that sin will be with you. Sin costs something. Now, I think in heaven we realize just how it changed, what it really cost Adam and Eve before the flood. Sin always costs us something. Satan used this against man and animals pre-flood. Because now Satan has dominion. Now Satan started having his will and way. I believe that's why God destroyed the animals. Because what God created to be vegetarian turned into carnivorous animals, predators. We find that man, that God created a certain way, and now we find that God destroys them. He sees how they have turned out. He sees where they have gone. It was not how God intended it to be. And what led in that direction is man's sin and the result of sin. They could no longer subdue it, and Satan was there to subdue and to have dominion because man turned that over to him. So God says, I'm destroying the world. And when it's all over and done with, there'll be a new world. So now we've already studied some of that. Now we've the new world, and God says, now these are instructions. And this world will not change. So I'll not destroy it again, no matter how bad it gets, until the end, when there will be no more world. And then it'll be destroyed by fire. We've already studied that. Okay, so the world will not change. Day and night will not change. Seasons will not differ from post-flood. The promise was to Noah, leave the ark, you'll not need it again. I will not destroy the world with the flood again. Things will not change on earth. The way it is now, or the way that'll be all the way through the millennial reign of Christ. Before then, and then after that, he'll destroy the entire earth. So, after the flood, many things changed. Man's ability to have dominion changed. His ability to be fruitful and replenish stayed the same. So since that time, humanity has, look around to 4 or 5 billion people on the earth now. So we find that, yes, mankind has replenished. Mankind has been fruitful. His ability to be fruitful and replenish, they've replenished, being fruitful has been to develop medicines, methods, technology to assist man's existence on earth. It remained. Man would not be able to have the control over everything that he would have had pre-flood, but now we find that with the wisdom of God and with the help of God, God would allow man the wisdom to be able to develop the things that we have today, which is just mind-boggling. Some of the technologies we have today and how they are being used, just mind-boggling, especially if you would go back even 25 years ago. If you go back 2,000 years ago, I mean, my goodness. So we find that God says, you're going to continue to have this, you'll continue, but you're not going to be able to subdue and have dominion, but you will be able to be fruitful and you will be able to replenish. But he says in verse 2, go back with me now, everybody with me here, understanding things have changed. Things have changed drastically compared to what it was pre-flood. Animals now would fear and be delivered to man. God placed this within them. They would not, however, have total dominion. Man would not have total dominion or be able to subdue them like they would have been able before. But now we find here that God says to them, he says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea into your hands. God says, this is what I'm doing for you now, Noah. And this will not change. What I will put into animal life, what I would put into the world in fish and everything else, I will put in them a fear of man, and in your hands I will deliver them, meaning that I will give you the ability to be able to overcome them. Amen. Man has supremacy over animals. because of God. Not because of evolution. But because of God. They would be able to overcome, or if you will, I even think being able to outthink them. One thing is sure, animals will not rise up in rebellion against man. It just amazes me when you see some of these so-called new television programs coming on. This one I've seen advertised before, I guess it's called The Zoo, and all the animals are going to have their revenge against humanity, and they're going to all work together now, and they're going to, as they work together, they're going to destroy mankind. And yet, it's just the opposite of what the Bible says. Human thinking is not, if you go by your own thinking, it will not be according to the Word of God. If you go by the Word of God, then you can understand how things work, because God's Word is true. And He says that will never happen because I'm going to put a fear in animal life, a fear of humanity. And I will deliver them into your hands. God's still in control. Man's thinking is void of God, is what's happening. But the more we see it, everything can be traced back to biblical principles and truth. And Satan trying to put down what God exalts. And Satan trying to change the mind of humanity concerning the will of God. In every area. Along with the technology that we have today, we find mankind wanting to replace God and replace what God and this Bible records as being what is right and moral and true. But He said, no matter how bad it gets, I'm not going to destroy the world with water again. And things will not change. These things will remain the same in animal life, and the birds and fish, and the day and night, and seasons. We have God's promise it's going to remain the same until God decides to destroy the earth. So we find here that, again, the first thing here we find is man's dominion would not be the same, but he would have dominion over supremacy over animals. The second thing that we find here is God's provisions for man's diet would change. God's provisions for man's diet would change. Look at verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. What will sustain thee? That meat is what will sustain you. That's what it's talking about there. What I have provided is for you, for your diet, that which will sustain your physical body, every moving thing that liveth. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as a green herb have I given you all things. All right, now look back with me to Genesis chapter 1. Is that how He established it pre-flood? No. Pre-flood, it was not God's will for man to eat meat. It was not God's will for animals to eat animals. There was no predators during that time. There were not supposed to be a killing and eating. I believe it led to a killing and eating. But we find here that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29, after He told man to subdue it and have dominion over the earth, now He talks about the food. He says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So, according to the Word of God, when man was first created and put on earth, we were all vegetarians. But the type of vegetarian life, the type of plant life, and especially the fruit that the earth bare, the fruit that the earth would grow, was more than sufficient to meet the need of God's creation, humanity, and animals and birds. It would have been different after the flood, because all of those things died out. Amen. Now, I don't know what it would have been like. I don't know. Maybe it was the apples and the oranges and the pears that kept you alive for 900 years. I don't know. Maybe it was just the water that they drank during that time. I don't know. I just know that pre-flood, that humanity lived longer. Pre-flood, they were not to eat meat. Pre-flood, they were vegetarians. Pre-flood, everything was somewhat different. But after the flood, and now that Noah has survived, God says it will be this way until I destroy the earth with fire. And that won't take place until after the church age, and then the rapture, the tribulation, the millennial reign, and then no more earth. He says things will be the same. So, if you think that it's biblical to be a vegetarian, you lived in the wrong dispensation. Now, if you want to be a vegetarian, I'm not telling you it's wrong to eat meat. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Things have not changed. And God says now there is something, a need, first of all, to be able to sustain you as things are different. The environment was altered. Possibly the nutrients needed to sustain man's health had changed. Still need for vegetation. There's still need for fruit. There's still need for all these other food groups. I understand that. But somehow things had changed to where now God says, now it is time after the flood, post-flood, to introduce meat into the diet of humanity. So meat is introduced for man's diet. Two very important details to it. And we're done tonight. Two very important details to God introducing meat into man's diet. Now, first of all, look at verse 3. Every, underline that, moving thing. You see that? Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. That means you have to kill to eat. It has to be alive. Don't pick up that possum that was roadkill and try to eat it. Amen. Don't do that. Amen. God's instructing humanity, and he says, if it's dead, don't eat it. If it's already dead, if it died of some kind of disease or died of this or that, it's not for you to eat. What I want you to do is I want you to be health conscious. If you're going to be health conscious when it comes to eating meat, you have to kill and eat. Matter of fact, look at Acts chapter 10. Now, we know that during the Old Testament, God gave Israel a different set of instructions as to eating meat. And we're going to see that in just a minute or two as well. But then we come here to the New Testament and the book of Acts, transitional period of time, moving humanity from the Old Testament to the New Testament church age. And God was teaching the apostles some truths that they needed to start preaching and teaching for the New Testament church age. One of those truths he wanted Peter to understand, that he was to reach the Gentiles with the gospel. And understanding that he also would have to understand that what you eat, Peter, has changed in this New Testament church age for Israel. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 9, if you will, here. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey, now he's getting ready to go to Cornelius, a Gentile. God's called him there. He's there by prayer, and he's going to present the gospel. On the morrow, they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry. and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending upon him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth. Anything that was moving. All manner. And wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there come a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Going back to how he instructed Noah. Going back to hell, Noah, we're going to introducing meat into the diet. But in order to introduce the right meat into the diet, understand, for health reasons, make sure it's a meat that you have killed and prepared to eat. And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." For there was unclean meat for the Jews, for Israel in the Old Testament. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Now, he would use that to help Peter understand that the Gentiles were people that God wanted to reach. And they were not unclean. But in doing that, he used this illustration of the food as well. And so we find that the food that was that God revealed would be the food of Noah and the people of the earth was that of animals, meat. And for health reasons, because of the threat of bacteria now, whether they had bacteria pre-flood, I don't know. Probably not. But now they had bacteria. The earth, the ground has been cursed. The world we live in is cursed. Whether they had parasites pre-flood, probably not. But today we have parasites. Today you better be very careful, especially eating meat, that you prepare it properly. Different meats need to be prepared different ways. You need to make sure that you preserve it after you've killed it, to know how to preserve it, to make sure that it's something that will not harm you. So we find here that God understood that, and he said it would be the same. And so he was instructing them, and he said, whatever's moving, nothing that died, kill and eat. Now, Israel's restrictions were mainly for health concerns even in the Old Testament. Can I tell you, they didn't have the refrigeration that we have today. And pork and some of the unclean animals were known to carry more parasites and different bacteria that could harm Israel, the people, the children of God. And so I believe that partially why God would give limitations, we'll not go there for sake of time, but Leviticus chapter 11, he goes through and he tells the people the laws of Moses, and he tells them exactly what God says that is clean and that which is unclean. He said, this you can't eat, this is clean, but any of these are unclean, you're not to eat them. Matter of fact, he said, it's an abomination of God for you to eat them. And pork would have been one of those things. But we also find that that would have been a meat that would be more susceptible to bacteria and parasites. But the second reason, two reasons, two very important details to introducing meat now into the diet of humanity. First is health reasons. But the second reason, not to eat alive or raw. A connection of life to the blood. Go back there, verse 4, and we're done. But flesh with life thereof, while it's alive. While it's alive, don't eat it. Amen, I like that. I've had certain steaks brought to me, I thought I heard it moo as it was, I'm thinking, wait a minute, it's still alive, go back and kill it and prepare it for me. But flesh with life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. I love that because this is the new world, all humanity that's alive, and God's putting into their hearts and minds the importance of the blood. There never should be a day or time when humanity forgets the importance of the blood. A connection of life and the blood. An awareness of the necessity of the blood. And when Moses is instructing the nation of Israel in Leviticus in chapter 17, look over there with me. Let me just share this with you. It was the same. What was free to eat changed with the invention of refrigeration. And the inventions of medication drugs, if you will, to be able to kill parasites and to kill certain things that would harm humanity. Preservatives, if you will. And with the preservatives we have today, then it actually somewhat keeps it safe. Now, we don't know what the preservatives do to us, but it keeps the meat fresh, amen, and safe to eat, and on and on. But it's through that that we have been able to eat more, as you would, but in health reasons. And then the second reason is to connect life and the blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. He says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." So Noah and his family would be very much aware of the blood and the importance of the blood and the association of the blood, necessity of the blood. Go down to verse 14 again. He says, "For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." They were very much aware of the blood. Matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, let me just read these verses to you. We're closed, right? We're done right after this, but I want to share this with you. In Hebrews in chapter 9 in verse 12, it says this: "Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." God is already preparing mankind for the coming of the Messiah. God started preparing Noah and all his descendants, which would have been everyone on the face of the earth, to be ready for the importance of the blood and looking for that precious blood of the Savior that would bring salvation to all humanity. In verse 22 of Hebrews in chapter 9, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood." The importance of the law. A schoolmaster to bring us to the importance of the blood of Christ. Amen. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission." Remission of sins. In Romans in chapter 3, write these verses down. I'm just going too fast, but I want you to get a hold of the verse. Listen to it, though. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, "Being justified freely by his grace, the grace of God, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins." Sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. We're living in a society that they want to take the blood out. They don't want you to sing of the blood. They don't want you to read of the blood. Can I tell you, ever since the post-flood, God says, "I want you to be aware of the blood. I want you to be aware of the importance of the blood, the association of the blood, the necessity of the blood." The last verse I want to share with you concerning that is Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and Jesus establishing the Lord's Supper before he would ascend into heaven. And he says this, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament." When God was instructing Noah, he was very much mindful of the New Testament. He was very much mindful of this 21st century age, this church age. He was very mindful of the importance of even today, no matter what kind of gadgets we have, no matter where we have come to when it comes to what man has produced and the methods and all the different technologies. And even though he knew the technology would be where it is today in order for the book of Revelations to be fulfilled. But in all this, he said, I never want you to forget the importance of the blood. And so he says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. My blood of the New Testament. From Noah until after the millennial reign, this world's going to remain the same. Got the promise of God. What God has instructed us with needs to be understood. The blood is what we need to understand the most. I trust you do. Every head bowed and every eye closed.